Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another edition of Talkin' Dodgers, brought to you by Rot Your Brain Media. This episode is sponsored by Command Creative Studios. Looking to jump into the podcast world and start making your own content? Command Creative Studios is your one-stop shop for professional podcasts. With a team of audio engineers, music composers, and graphic designers, Command Creative Studios can get your podcast sounding professional as well as looking professional. For more information, please visit commandcreativestudios.com. Don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
You'll get notifications when new episodes are up. This is what's on deck. We're going to talk, we're going to go over the Dodgers National League West champs record, the best team in baseball, at least on paper, Ohtani's milestones, his first year as a Dodger. We're going to talk season's surprises, MVPs who are not one of the MV3s. We're going to talk LVP, which is in letdowns. I'm not wording this right at all. That's fine. And then we're going to go over the
Least
valuable player. We're going to talk playoff bracket set. We're going to talk preview the Braves Padres series and how that will affect the Dodgers moving forward. Before we get started, we're going to talk about Pete Rose. He passed away today at the age of 83. A statement made by Major League Baseball says Major League Baseball extends its deepest condolences to Pete Rose's family, his friends across the game, and the fans of his hometown of Cincinnati, Philadelphia, and beyond, who admire his greatness, grit, and determination on the field of play. May he rest in peace. Pete Rose, Charlie Hustle. Mike, you want to take this one over?
Yeah, so I've had a lot of admiration for Pete Rose or Charlie Hustle. I think we've talked about it a lot. I know baseball's gone a lot towards analytics and, you know, personal accolades and large contracts. I feel like his tenacity and, you know, the way he played the game and hustled and just played with reckless abandon, and he was all about winning.
Yeah.
And just winning. It's sad that he's gone. I really wish he would have the opportunity to go to the Hall of Fame. I really wish this generation of players played like him. Oh. And I hope the next generation of ball players remembers his legacy and he's not forgotten. Yeah. But I think the biggest thing I want to see is I'd like to see his legacy live in the Hall of Fame. And unfortunately, if that does happen, he won't be around to see it. He just embodied the game of baseball. He loved baseball. I know everybody knows it's well documented that he made a mistake, but no one could deny how he played the game. And
right.
I mean, a lot of us can admire that weren't elite level athletes and there's pictures of them, you know, diving 3 feet off the ground to slide into home, getting into fights. You know, he's an old school baseball player and
knocking down the catcher in the middle of an all-star game.
Yeah, right. He played to win. He played with swag. Like, I don't think it was ever about the contract. It was for the love of the game. And I think that's missing from today's game. And I just hope his legacy lives on. I hope he's not forgotten.
Yeah.
But rest in peace, Charlie Hustle. I hope, like I said, his legacy lives on and baseball doesn't forget about him.
Max, you want to add anything to that?
No, I completely agree. I mean, it's a travesty that they, you know, yes, what he did was horrible, but I still don't think he shouldn't be recognized with a bus in that room of, you know, Hall of Fame, because he has a ton of memorabilia and stuff there in the Hall of Fame, but having his day, and now he'll never have that. Maybe in the future they'll do something like that for his family, but
I think
that hurts.
I think it's going to happen pretty quick.
Yeah,
now that he's not
to be gone. Yeah.
I think so. I think probably in a year or so he'll get into the Hall of Fame. They'll induct him.
He deserved to witness it. That's my take.
I think he did deserve to witness it. Was it horrible? I think that's maybe a too harsh of a word for what he did. It was definitely wrong. The thing was, I mean, did they ever say, like, did he actually bet on his team losing?
No.
Yeah. He bet to win. He
always bet for them to win.
Yeah.
I mean, right there. I mean, to be
he
honest
wasn't
with
manipulating
you,
the outcome.
If you're a manager of a baseball team, because he was a manager / first baseman. I mean, if you're betting on your team to win, I mean, that's kind of the manager that I want, to be honest with you. I know it's frowned upon, but if you believe in your team that much that you think you're going to beat the other team and you're willing to put your own money down on it, hey, man, more to you.
And that generation, gambling was frowned upon and illegal. Look at this. Look what we have now. We got DraftKings, FanDuel, all these other things.
We got Shohei Ohtani.
You know what
okay,
I mean?
Okay, hold on.
Oh, that's a good example. Shohei Ohtani's
thing. Hold on. I'm so glad you mentioned that because it's beyond that these things are available because it's actually all the leagues are in bed with all these gambling
Absolutely. They get a cut of it all.
Yeah, they promote them. They're investors.
They're endorsed by them.
It's prevalent. They're all part of these, you know, FanDuels and DraftKings and
absolutely
and the sports books. So
whatever more money you made,
yeah. Of course. So yeah. they're being hypocrites.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, attendance might be down. TV revenue might be going down. You know, cable going away, but people betting on sports that's going to live on forever, man. So any way you can tap into that, whatever sport it is, if it's baseball, football, basketball, they're going to tap into it for sure.
Yeah, so rest in peace, Pete. It was a pleasure as a sports fan to see your highlights.
My dad talked about him all the time. He thought he was the greatest thing ever. All right, enough with that. May he rest in peace. Let's move on. First topic, National League champion.
Best record in baseball, baby.
Yeah, West why champions. Did you say on paper? They're by far the best team this year.
Well I wouldn't say that.
The reason why I said on paper is because that season's over, man. Now we're into the playoffs.
You're right.
We're in the playoffs. So let's go over it. So Dodger record, they get 98 wins, 54 losses. That percentage is .605, which is the best in baseball. That makes them the best team in baseball, not just the National League. At least on paper. The reason why I say that is it gives them home field advantage throughout the playoffs. That's it, guys. We all know we've seen it before. We like our favorite teams. They're favored in the playoffs, but as soon as the playoffs hit, the best team in sports does not always win. And now it's time to prove that you can now move on to the next level, and that's the playoffs. Ended the season on the high note of they won last 10 games, won 8 out of 2. They had a 5-game winning streak. The end of the season with the highest run differential, which is a +156. That's it, guys. That's great. It was a great 162 games. The Dodgers frustrated us. There were times where we thought, like, oh, man, this team might be going down. They're, like, only 3 games above the Padres. I think they went down to 2.5 at the end of the season. Maybe even 2, but I think it was 2.5. But at the end of the day, they still won the NL West with at least by 5 games.
I think it was big. So we can recap the last two series. I was a little nervous after that triple play game, and then we ended up winning the series, and then we swept the Rockies. I think we're firing on all cylinders going into the playoffs. I feel pretty comfortable with the team.
Yeah,
I think it was a good thing that the Padres were on their heels, and we weren't given the division.
Yeah, I think the downtimes in the year, you can equate that mainly to injuries. It wasn't like they had extended periods of bad play by multiple people simultaneously.
Well, there was a couple games there, Robbie.
But there's always, people go through slumps. But, you know, the reason that they didn't get, you know, this is one of those years no one cracked 100 wins. It wasn't because of extended bad play when they were healthy. It was because of a lot of injuries this year, and they navigated to have the best record in baseball. So that's a plus.
Robbie, there was a couple games there when they were weathering the storm that you and I noticed some bonehead errors in the field that cost them some games.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's here nor there now. Hopefully they got it out of their system. And if they haven't, go see Robbie in his office. He will straighten you out for the playoffs.
Well, enduring the 162 for not only players but fans, now we get to the point where it's the excitement, thrill of will they move on? Will they move on? It's not, hey, we'll go get them, we can go get them tomorrow. We got to win every series from now on. Can't lose a series. So let's move on. Before we keep talking playoffs, let's talk individual stats with the Dodgers. Let's move on to Ohtani. I know we've talked about him a lot this last couple of weeks this last month or so. Because he's been, you know, breaking records, being an offensive threat, doing stuff that we haven't seen a player do. But let's just go over really quick what he ended up doing his first year as a Dodger. So Ohtani wins his third Player of the Week award this week. So that's two back-to-back weeks that he won Player of the Week. Ends the year leading the NL in pretty much every offensive stat that's meaningful. Runs scored 134, home runs 54, home runs, RBIs 130, OBP is 390, slugging percentage 646, OPS 1.036. He's the first player ever to join the 50-50 club with 54 home runs and 59 stolen bases. He just missed winning the Triple Crown with a 310 batting average, coming in just 4 points under Luis Araiza, who had his own record where he just won his third batting title in a row on three different teams. Hey, here's hoping he can do it four times in a row. So, hey, four different teams, four times in a row, get away from the Padres.
Doesn't that show you how they don't, this analytical they don't nonsense value, is yeah. so stupid? The guy wins the batting title in on three different teams in three consecutive years. Like
that's crazy.
That's ridiculous. It's not that he's a locker room cancer. They just don't, he doesn't have enough pop. There's value in a player like that.
I forget what I was listening to, and he brought up a good point. A lot of the times when you get a player who wins the batting title, he's not winning. He's not hitting for power. Perfect example, Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn won the batting title multiple times, and he was never known as a power hitter. But that's just like, they're not sought after anymore, those types of baseball players, which is unfortunate because whenever I got a baseball card when I was a kid, the first thing I did is I looked at the back of it. If it was a player I didn't know, I looked at the batting average. The batting average, they weren't even in the threes. I didn't think they were a good baseball player.
Exactly.
Think about that. And now what? Did we get like five guys in the National League that batted in the 300s? I think it might have been less than that.
Yeah, so people don't value Wade Boggs, Tony Gwynn, guys like that anymore. So Ted Williams wouldn't be great? Come on, guys.
I guess not. All right. Also, he just missed being the first player ever to go 40-40-40 with 38 doubles. So I didn't even think about that until Eric Caro said that in a broadcast. But it makes me think, Max, this might be hard. Maybe it's happened 1,000 times. We have no idea. But has there been players that have gotten 30 home runs, 30 doubles, and 30 stolen bases?
Oh, yeah.
Like a lot? You think so?
I can look it up.
I think we witnessed one of the greatest seasons of Major League Baseball player ever.
Definitely one of the greatest offensive seasons of baseball players ever done. I know it's going to bring up the conversation of Judge, and like we've talked about that kind of stuff. But not only what he did accomplish his first season, the things that he did that no one else has done, the things that he got close to doing that no one has done in a while or ever is quite remarkable. I don't think he's ever going to have a repeat year like this because he's going to be pitching next year. So I don't think he's going to try to push himself as much as far as at least the stolen bases. Now, he could probably get another 50 home runs next year.
Line up. How many years has he been in the league now?
Six, seven?
Yeah.
Around there, yeah.
So how can we never have this much of a... I mean, did he ever put up numbers like this with the Angels? And if not,
no, this
why
is
not?
His best year.
This is definitely his best
also,
offensive
it's
year.
The Angels, come on, dude.
He did win two or three MVPs.
Yeah, two, right?
Two, yeah. So yeah. It's not like he's
great years.
Not like he's not a good player already.
Yeah,
it's just this. I feel like with the spotlight on him, and then I think that
we definitely shine. That's for sure.
The fact that he was with the team, I feel like he wanted to be with from the beginning, which was the Dodgers. It added a little extra for him. He's been in the league for quite a while now, so he knows the ins and the outs. He doesn't have to concentrate so much on the pitching now. He doesn't want to concentrate on the hitting. He can push himself farther. There's a lot of things that I think helped him get to this point where he could actually have this breakout year, which if you want to call it a breakout year, even though this isn't like he's coming off of a slumpy year or anything like that. I think he was just able to do things he hasn't been able to do before because he had the opportunity to do them now. Now, what's going to happen next year when he's pitching? We'll find out. I guarantee you he's not going to be stealing 50 bases.
No. But the pitching will be even more valuable.
The pitching will be even more valuable for sure. As long as he's, let's see what he can pitch after two Tommy John surgeries. How long is it going to take him to become a viable pitcher?
World Series.
We're looking at Walker Buehler right now. I mean, he didn't start pitching until halfway through the season. No, maybe a little bit before halfway through the season. And we're just now seeing him become hopefully the Walker Buehler of old. We don't know how long it's going to take Ohtani to come back to be the Ohtani of old, if he even gets there after the second Tommy John surgery.
You're not going to be shocked if he's awesome.
I'm not going to be shocked, but I'm also not going to be shocked if he's not awesome.
Max, did you get that?
From what I've seen right now, do I really need the pitching to go along with the hitting to justify what he's doing for the Dodgers? I don't know.
It'd be a plus.
It would definitely be a plus, but it wouldn't be missed because we haven't had it yet. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Did Robbie or Max, did you find those?
Yeah,
stats?
So there's been so many 30 guys. The real list is who has had the most 30-30 seasons. So that would be Alfonso Soriano. He's done it 4 times. Barry Bonds has done it 3 times. An active player who's actively doing, Jose Ramirez, amazing third baseman for the Guardians. He's done it 2 times in his career, and he's still playing. And okay. The list goes on and on and on. I mean, this list, I'm already up to 25 people who've done it.
So it's not a unique stat.
No, it's not.
But nobody's ever done
40-40 would have been unique.
But this might be kind of a weird question. Because we look at the 40-40 club as 40 stolen bases, 40 home runs. Has there ever been a 40-40, like 40 home run, 40 doubles before?
Probably.
Because, I would think that's a better stat than 40 home runs, 40 stolen bases.
Yeah.
I feel like this is maybe a stupid question that I should already know this. But that's a better, I think that club would have
been
named.
That's been done 38 times.
40 home runs and 40 doubles?
Yeah. And twice in 2015. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Been done 40. Oh, this is an old article. So it's probably done even further. This is an old thing from, let me pull it up. Let me get it.
Now I feel bad to have a Dodger podcast talk about baseball. That I didn't know that the 40 home runs and 40 doubles has been done that many
times.
Well,
it would have probably been brought up in the sports media landscape if it was a rarity.
Right.
Yeah. It's been done a ton.
Okay. But not with 40 stolen bases, obviously.
So does Ohtani win the MVP?
Unanimously, I'm going to be shocked if one bonehead doesn't vote for him. All right,
Max, what do you think?
He should win it unanimously. I mean, Lindor did. I mean, you saw today they were about to be. You know, they're losing. He you can't be more clutch than that. Hitting a 2-run home run in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, to put your team into the playoffs.
Yeah, that was pretty
Lindor
epic.
Lindor has been extremely valuable for the Mets, but it's Ohtani easily.
All righty.
All right, let's real quick before we move on to our next topic. Don't forget to click that like and subscribe button. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
We're also on YouTube, so if you want to look at our pretty faces while we make the chit chat, check out.
Keep going with pretty. What about handsome? Right, Mike? Am I the only one on this? Pretty all the time.
I know it, right? Speak for yourself.
Go check out our Rot Your Brain.
Soft feature is pretty.
Rot Your Brain YouTube page. Okay.
You can also follow us on Twitter, formerly known as, or X, formerly known as Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and check out our new reels that are coming up. Give us a like and subscribe.
Yep, viruses.
I've got some pretty good reels out there.
Viruses.
Virus, like a virus.
All right, let's move on to the next topic. This season had a bunch of surprises for the Dodgers. Let's talk about, I want each person here to name their surprise Dodger MVP for the season who is not one of the MV3s, which would be Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman. So, Mike, I'll start with you. Out of all the players, it could be a pitcher, it could be a position player, stuff like that. Tell me who your breakout player was. Who was your MVP that wasn't one of the MV3s?
I got two. Tommy Edman and Flaherty.
Okay.
Ooh, the late additions.
Yeah.
The
for consistency.
Kopech.
Those two. I would put Kopech in there, but I think Flaherty, based on his consistency of going 5+ innings throughout his duration with the Dodgers,
right,
and Edman coming off an injury where I didn't really know who he was. I knew he was a Gold Glover. I knew he was good, but the last several weeks when he went on, got his first home run, the way he plays the field. Hit clutch in a lot of spots. I think he's going to be a bright spot for the long haul for the Dodgers. So for me, it's Flaherty and Edman.
Okay, I can see that. Max, you want to go? Or you want me to go?
My guy is a guy they signed as a free agent. It's Teoscar Hernandez. He's been extremely consistent all year round, batting in the heart. You know, right around where they needed him, in the heart of the lineup.
He's clutch.
Clutch. He raked. I think he was second in. Second in home runs. He had 33 home runs, 99 RBIs, a 4.3 WAR. So, that's a really solid free agent signing.
Yeah.
Just the fact, and he was pretty much healthy all year.
Yeah.
When guys around him were out, Betts, Freeman, he was solid all year round. So, I would go with Teoscar Hernandez.
That's a good one. That was going to be mine. I thought about Teoscar Hernandez. But then I also thought about Lux, but Lux,
that was my second guy.
But here's the thing, Lux underachieved what I predicted he was going to do this year. Because remember I said at the beginning of the season, he was going to bat at least 270 and have 20 home runs. He didn't get that point. He became one of the better hitters on the team after the All-Star break, even though he kind of cooled down at the end of the season. But I can't give it to Lux. I'm going to give it to Gavin Stone. So,
really? The rookie?
It's got to be Stone. And this is the reason why. I mean, granted, he's injured now. He's probably not going to pitch to the playoffs. But before, until he got injured, which I believe was in, the end of August, early September, he was the most consistent pitcher the Dodgers had throughout the entire year, from the beginning to August, to the end of August.
I didn't see that coming.
I didn't see it coming either, because remember, Bobby Miller was...
I just mean your pick.
The pick?
Well, yeah.
So the five starting pitchers, Gavin Stone was not on my project. I didn't project Gavin Stone to be on the starting rotation because I thought it was going to be Emmett Sheehan. You had Bobby Miller. You had Glasnow, Yamamoto, and... Maybe that was
Kershaw. You were thinking maybe
Kershaw wasn't going to come until halfway through.
Because you remember in the beginning.
Oh, it was the lefty. I can't remember his name. He's not on the team anymore. They picked him up. He was the fifth starter. Can't remember. He's not with the team anymore. It doesn't matter.
Paxton.
Those were the five. Gavin Stone became the fifth starter because Emmett Sheehan was hurt. He didn't start the season with the Dodgers. So Gavin Stone, in a way, kind of came out of nowhere because he had a really bad year last year. I didn't think that he was as good as he was. And then he was super consistent throughout the entire year. He, in my opinion, really held that that rotation together while Knack kind of found his groove, while Kershaw was coming back from his injury.
Bueller
was coming back from his injury. Glasnow going down. Yamamoto going down really early. Bobby Miller going down, not really getting a start or figuring himself out. It was really Gavin Stone who was the most consistent player throughout the season, pitching-wise for me.
That's a good call.
Gavin Stone.
But yeah, I stayed away from Teoscar just because I felt like that was an easy pick.
Teoscar was an easy pick for sure. I love the way Teoscar smiles and looks like he's having a blast. My only gripe, and it's smart baseball what he does in the outfield, but he looks lazy in the outfield. But he knows when to hustle and when to just realize this guy's getting a double. I'm just going to get the ball, play it routine. He just kind of lackadaisically goes to the ball sometimes. When it's smart, I mean, him running as hard as he can to get to the ball and throw it in, it's not going to stop the guy from getting a double. He knows when to push himself, when not to push himself, which is what smart veterans do. That's the only thing that bugs me about him. Other than that, I love his approach at the plate. He kind of swings the sliders too much, but other than that, consistency, I love him.
Okay. What do our listeners think? Who's the...
I would love to hear who our listeners' MVPs are.
Yeah, who do you guys think?
Not Shohei, who's not Betts, and who's not Freeman.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's move on to the next topic, least valuable player of the season. So this is kind of like, let's go through who our biggest letdown was and who you were expecting a lot of good things and ended up kind of being a big letdown. So Mike, you go first on this one, unless Max wants to take the lead on this.
Max, go ahead.
I mean, I didn't go in with it expecting anybody, but someone who I guess didn't look the part, I would go with Bobby Miller. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a lot of starts, but his ERA, his advanced numbers were really off for a guy who's supposed to have really good stuff and who was a highly touted prospect.
Yeah,
and you know, he had a negative WAR, or he like basically a negative two WAR, which is really bad for a pitcher. So
yeah, that's a good pick. I mean, you're absolutely right, because the year that he had last year. And the first start he had this year, you thought, oh man, he's going to be in the run for the Cy Young. Like, cause he just looked dominant. And then he could just never find it again. And it's crazy because his stuff looks good. For us watching on TV, hitting 100 miles an hour, he's got pitches that drop into the 80s. He's changing speeds. He's changing, even if you make mistakes, you would think with that kind of stuff, he would still be able to get by, and he wasn't fooling anybody.
Yeah, he was projected, you know, like I said, as a frontline starter. You know, he was a highly touted, and he just, for whatever reason, you know, this hasn't been his year. Hopefully next year, you know, They fix whatever is going, whether it's mechanical, whether he's tipping pitches, whatever it is, they fix it, and then they, he could be a huge asset for them again.
Yeah. Okay. Mike, what do you got?
The Dodgers starting rotation.
Oh, that's a great one.
The whole rotation. Okay.
That's a great one. Not the training staff?
Well, so it's no. So it's no. It's funny that you mentioned that. I wonder if anything has to do with Mark Pryor, our pitching coach.
Oh. Oh, because Pryor was always hurt himself.
Yes.
Pryor was a really good pitcher, but he was always hurt.
He was always hurt.
Him and Kerry Wood, right?
Yes. Oh. Yep. Absolutely.
Oh, those guys were
when they're on the Cubs.
Yeah, the Cubs, man.
Yeah, our start. My biggest disappointment letdown is the injuries in our starting rotation.
That's a good take, man.
At starting rotation. But yeah, I think of Mark Pryor. Like,
that's a good one.
Come on, Mark, get our pitchers to not get hurt.
So if you're gonna blame Mark Pryor, do you think it is because he's kinda helping put together the pitching sequences and stuff, and he's having them rely a lot on the slider or a lot on the stuff that's kinda like
that could be elbow possibly intensive?
Well, so think about it. Your position coach in this instance is Mark Pryor, right? When you go through your pitching sequences and what you're going to practice in practice, he sets that up.
Yeah.
So maybe he's doing a poor job of managing what the guys pitch and how they throw to keep them healthy over the long term. Whatever he did while he played didn't work.
Here's another. Okay.
I'm just an assumption on my part, but back just to pitching. Like something's not working.
Mitigate their stress on their elbows.
Correct.
Maybe that might be something that I don't know if the pitching coach they like, value that, but that might be something that.
Think about it. If you're not throwing your slider just right or whatever off speed pitch or what it is, you're going to work on that more. But to me, I would be like, okay, name any one of our injured pitchers. Hey, I want you to take it easy on the slider this week. Like, I know we need to work on that, but. Maybe we just don't throw it as much in practice for you to get it down.
I was never a pitcher, but isn't that kind of stuff like on the grip and the feel of it, right?
I don't know. I don't know much. I was never a pitcher either. I'm just saying it's possible.
That's a really cool take. I like that.
Here's a question for you. So because we are the Dodgers and we can talk like, you know, some teams are the Yankees, Red Sox, these teams that have money, that have a surplus of, you know, pitchers maybe in the wings, knowing that they can go trade for a pitcher, you could buy a pitcher, whatever the case is. And obviously, pitching staffs, teams, whatever, they know which pitches are more intensive, that are more stressful to an elbow.
Injury
prone. They're more injury prone. But can they look at it and go, well, we are this team that if we run a Glasnow into the ground, or if we run Bobby Miller into the ground or something like that, but using these certain types of pitches, it's okay because we know that we can go get a replacement. We know that we have someone in the wings, as opposed to, say, a team that, I'm going to say the White Sox or we'll say the A's or something like that, that doesn't have that option. They're not going to have those pitchers throw those pitches as much because they don't have anybody in the wings to come and back them up.
I think that's, you know what I'm saying? I think that's a dumb, if that were true, it's dumb. If you have a Ferrari or a Porsche, or let's just say a Ferrari. You got a Ferrari, and the temperature's running a little bit hot. You're going to take it easy so you don't break it. You don't take something that's borderline not running so great and running into the ground because you got four more in the stable. You want all five and six of your top-tier cars or performance machines, i.e. our pitching staff, healthy throughout the race.
But if those pitchers aren't pitching like that, that means that when they are pitching, they're not getting those wins. So we're not tallying up those wins. We're not making the playoffs. We're not making that extra money. See what I'm saying?
I don't think pitch people into the ground.
Sometimes I feel like they do. I don't know.
It's
worth a thought. I'm not saying they are doing that. I'm just kind of curious if you thought that maybe that might be a conversation.
The only reason why that wouldn't be a good idea is if you're going to pitch somebody in the ground, you sure as heck wouldn't give them a huge contract if you're just going to burn them up.
True.
Listen, I like where you're going with it, and I kind of agree a lot what you're saying, Mike. But me, if I'm one of these teams, you know how I feel. I am pitching you to get a title because you're going to break down regardless. You know, I don't think everybody throws hard, rest, no rest, they still get hurt. They, people blow out elbows game one. They blow it out in spring training. They blow it out game 154. Just pitch and try to win. If it blows out, luck of the draw.
Yeah.
But I like what you're saying. But I would be one of those organizations like just go, man. Because I'm just thinking about like phenoms like Doc Gooden. If Doc Gooden was on here today, they would probably like be afraid to even call him up early and let him pitch, and the Mets wouldn't have gotten that series, World Series in 86, right?
Yeah.
So like just go for it, man. Titles are hard to get if you let them max out, because they're all going to get hurt regardless.
I would have him.
But I like what you're saying.
I agree with you, Max, and let them lay it all out there. But to me, just like, I think it needs to be done in the playoffs.
just go all out in the playoffs.
Yeah, right? Go out in the playoffs. Like, lose it in the playoffs, because you lose a series, you're done for the year.
Yeah.
So,
but it's a great conversation. Great thing, man. I give you that.
Let's go win a World Series, boys.
All right.
Let's go Dodgers.
My pick, I'm going with James Outman.
That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah,
so
fielder,
I feel like we kind of forgot about Outman because he was off the team very quickly.
Bad enough that we brought in a replacement.
So last year,
played in 53 games.
Last year was his rookie year, and I feel like I don't know where he came up on the actual rookie of the year, but I'm pretty sure he was in the top five at least.
I'll get that.
So these numbers really fast. So let's see. His batting average last year.
He was third in rookie of the year.
Third rookie of the year. So he batted .248. He had an OBP of .358. Slugging percentage .437. He had 23 home runs. He had 3 triples, 16 doubles, 16 stolen bases.
Really good, solid rookie year.
He had good, solid numbers. His OPS was .790.
Yeah.
That's pretty good for a rookie year. What he ended up in 2024,
not so much.
Batting average .147. He had 4 home runs. Slugging percentage was .265.
Ow.
OPS was .521. He also wasn't playing in as many games because he did not look good from the very get-go. I was disappointed for two things. One, I was disappointed for how poorly he started at the beginning, and then I was also disappointed for how fast the Dodgers basically cut him loose and sent him back to the minors. I understand why they did it, because they want him to get at bats down there. Hopefully he can find his groove and then send him back up. But I really wish, and this kind of goes to like, you know, being a team that's like doesn't have as many prospects, as many opportunities, whatever you want to call it. Like Corbin Carroll, I think it's him, for the Astros, or not for the Astros, boo.
Diamondbacks.
For the Diamondbacks.
Boo.
He was rookie of the year last year, and he started off really poor. I don't even think he started to find his groove until August of this year.
Pretty much until the Dodgers Diamondbacks series.
Exactly.
It was that series that he found his groove again.
But he stayed up. They dropped him from the top of the order. They dropped him down. I think he was batting 7th or 8th in the lineup. He was still getting his at-bats. He was seeing Major League Baseball. He was seeing Major League Baseball pitching, and he figured it out and became probably one of their better hitters and really got them at least close to making the playoffs. I know they missed it by a game, but it wouldn't have happened if they didn't stick with him. And I kind of wish the Dodgers would have done that with Outman, because there was a couple moves that the Dodgers did. One, getting Kiermaier, which made no sense to me still, because Kiermaier, yes, plays elite defense center field-wise, but he's a left-handed bat that he's not going to hit the ball as well as the upside for him is not as much upside as it is for Outman. So I was just disappointed in that move. I was disappointed in just, you know, Paez playing center field. I feel like Paez is a better corner fielder. If you would have stuck with Outman in center field, put Paez more in right field, I feel like they could have stepped away from. I mean, I know Hayward was a favorite for a lot of people, but stepping away from Hayward made more sense to me because he's a 1-year contract veteran on its way out. Stick with the young guys and see if you could have built them up to be for the future. So hopefully, though, next year, Outman ended strong in AAA. I thought they would have brought him up a little bit sooner. They only brought him up for the last game of the season. And I think he played 5 innings. I think he walked, maybe he got a hit or something like that.
Can Outman play right field?
He could play right field, but they're not going to put him in right field.
Edmund's going to play center, right?
Yeah, but I think.
So where does that leave Outman?
Outman's not going to be. He's a long shot to be brought up for the playoffs.
I'm not talking playoffs. I'm talking like long term future next year.
I don't know. Well, one thing is Miguel Rojas, I do not believe is under contract next year. So depending on what they do with Lux and Betts is going to determine what options they have for for Tommy Edmonds, because if
he might play short, he could play short.
He could play short if they step away from Lux and they put Lux in a trade package to go somewhere else. And then, but I really strongly believe Betts is going to be playing second base next year. I think they want to take the wear and tear off of his legs. That just means if Lux can play shortstop, if Lux can't play shortstop, I think they're going to trade Lux. And unless they get a shortstop to replace him, they move Edmonds to shortstop. Then maybe that makes some room for Altman. I think Altman might be on the trading block before the season starts next year. Just because I think there's a lot of teams that would want to, there's a lot of upside for Altman. I think a lot of teams want to take the, like, take a stab at him and see if they can make it work.
Yeah, so he could end up to be the next Jason Worth.
Yeah.
But we had anyways, bad luck with outfielders going away and then turning into all stars.
Yeah.
But whatever. It's, yeah, he had a tough season this year. I thought for sure he'd be a shining star.
I thought so.
All star, like elite level.
Yeah, I thought the way that
he's still young.
It sucks because the way Bobby.
True, but what he showed, like Robbie mentioned, what he showed last year, it was a ton of upside and a ton of promise, and he just
same with Bobby Miller.
Yeah, both of them.
I mean, neither
one of them stepped into Robbie's office.
I bet you Bobby Miller was in the top 10, top five of a rookie of the years as well, because he. I mean,
he had to be Bobby top Miller, five. He was. Tearing it up last year.
Bobby Miller last year was what Gavin Stone was this year, which he really held that rotation together because, I mean, look at it. Bobby Miller was one of the starters in the rotation for the playoffs because Kershaw was injured and, well, I mean, Kershaw still pitched, but your options were an injured Kershaw, a rookie, Bobby Miller, and then, God, what is that guy's name again? The from the A's? Doesn't matter. Four home run guy galore. Doesn't matter. I mean, I mean, Bobby Miller pitched really good last season, so it was a really shock for Bobby Miller.
He didn't place in anything.
Really, that is shocking.
Yeah. Speaking of the A's, let's just bring it up. They played their last game in Oakland. What do you guys feel about that as far as baseball history and no more baseball in Oakland?
Bad ownership.
I agree with that, but do you feel like
bad ownership?
Do you think their move to Vegas is a good thing? I know it's the future of media and entertainment, but. I love like Oakland, like
I'm excited.
The Oakland A's, like, you know, the Oakland Raiders, like it just, I feel like the town of Oakland's getting the short end of the stick.
I'm excited for the A's to move to Las Vegas because it's more, at least it's going to be easier for me to see an A's game in Vegas than it is for me to see an A's game in Oakland. You know what
I mean? Yeah, don't blame you.
And my favorite was in Vegas, I would make the drive to go see an A's game. I'd make a drive to go see the Dodgers play the A's.
In Vegas.
There, than I would to make a drive to Oakland to see them play there. And it's not because...
I just think the history's gone kind of sad, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
I agree with that.
Goes back to the, you know, the way...
The Bash Brothers?
I mean, Reggie Jackson came from the A's. Like, yeah. You want to talk about Yankee guy? Reggie Jackson came to the Bash Brothers. Ricky Henderson, like... The very first
Vita Blue.
Yeah, Vita Blue. One, my very first memory of watching baseball on TV was, I believe, it had to be the A's. Harold Baines played for the A's, right?
Yeah.
I think so. So, Nolan Ryan was pitching on TV, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Nolan Ryan. My eyes were like deer in headlights. And Harold Baines had a two-run shot off him, like the first or second pitch. And I'll never forget that. It was the first memory of watching TV or baseball on TV. But shout out to the Oakland Athletics and their fan base. Sorry that you guys are losing your team. But you can watch us Dodgers win the World Series this year.
There you go. All right. That's going to do it for Player Spotlight.
Brought to you by
Max.
Player Spotlight is brought to you guys by Rot Your Brain Media, the up-and-coming podcast company delivering top-quality content across all podcast platforms. From sports entertainment to in-depth movie and TV reviews, eventually, Rot Your Brain Media is your go-to for fun and exciting content. Don't miss out. Visit their Patreon page at patreon.com/rotyourbrainmedia to support this dynamic new company and be part of something special. Subscribe now and get ready to have your brain truly entertained.
And that's how you do a read.
That's a good ad spot right there.
I love it.
Keep it moving.
All right, let's jump into the playoff bracket. So it's set. Let's preview the Braves and Padres series. Let me go ahead and pull the bracket up here. Bada bing.
While you're doing that, I've been trying to see if the Braves are pretty much on a plane right now. I don't even know if they've landed in San Diego yet. So they haven't announced their pitching rotation. But going in, the their ace, Chris Sale, is going to win freaking the Cy Young.
A triple crown? No.
Yeah, he yeah,
triple crown. Yeah,
yeah, triple crown. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was supposed to pitch one of those rainout games during the hurricane with the Mets. They pushed him back for the weekend. Then they pushed him back again. That he was supposed to be the game two starter today, but then they said he had back spasms. So I don't know if they assumed they were going to at least win one game, and they held him back for tomorrow. All of a sudden, the back spasms won't be there, and he'll pitch game one. But the Padres have set their rotation. They're starting with former Yankee Michael King, game one. Mr. Glossy Ears, Musgrove.
Greasy ears.
Musgrove in game two. And Dylan Cease in game three. I'm kind of surprised that they went that route. I would have preferred to have Cease in one of the first two games. So the Braves, you know, they have really – they lost a lot of players, but – they have, you know, Cease. They have what do you call it again? They have Max Fried, who's a phenomenal pitcher. They have the rookie Schoenbeck. He's been great all year, and of course Chris Sale. So this is not going to be a layup for the Padres. I know you guys don't want to see the Padres in the.
I don't know if I want to see the Braves either.
These are the two teams. I mean,
yeah, I don't. I mean,
it's not the Diamondbacks, but the Braves and the Padres. If you look at the four right now, which is the Mets, Brewers, Braves, and Padres.
Yeah,
the two teams. If you had to name two teams, I don't want to see the next round. It would be Padres and Braves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the Braves know how to win. They have that institutional knowledge of winning in the playoffs. So
this is when you're looking at that second seed going, man,
it would have been nice to get that side of the bracket, right?
Mets or Brewers. I'd much rather have taken that. But at the same time,
I feel like now that you mentioned that, I feel like the playoff brackets meant for Bryce Harper to win World Series this year.
It definitely looks that way. What's interesting,
they were
though,
my pick in the beginning to get there, but they were going to lose to the Yankees.
I know that the Padres won the regular season.
I had to do it.
I know that the Padres won the regular series against the Dodgers, and I do believe the Braves did as well. Can we look at that really fast?
Wait, the Yankees are... speaking of the Yankees, sorry. Yankees are the one seed, Max?
Yeah, they lucked their way in there. The Guardians wet the bed. They should have taken... The Yankees are stupid.
Or the Guardians knew that your better odds are the two seed.
You want to play Houston? I don't know, man.
I'd like to see. We hate Houston cheaters.
They'll cheat their way in. And Detroit has been like the hottest team since the trade deadline.
I want to see Detroit take them out in the first round.
They could. Scooble, who's going to win the Cy Young over there, and he's been phenomenal this year. So.
Playoff baseball, man. I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
Starts tomorrow.
Woohoo! Yeah. Let's go, Dodgers. Shohei, lead us to a title.
So anyways, did the Braves win or beat the Dodgers in the regular series? Or in the, did they have the overall?
I think they did.
Oh, there you go.
Let's look that up real quick, Dodgers.
So yeah, so it's going to be.
So you would prefer the Braves?
With the Braves or the Dodgers.
I don't know, man.
I'm saying. Either way, it's going to be tough for the Dodgers. Hopefully, my hope is that these two teams beat each other up. It goes three games. And I feel like one thing that does suck is that there's a day off in between. I feel like if you are playing a wild card round, you should have no days off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No rest.
They have to do more advantage for the teams that are first and second seed.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I feel like there should be no day off. But having said that, though, I think that both these teams match up really well against each other with the pitching staffs. I think it's not going to be a walk in the park for either one of them. Hopefully, with the Braves not limping in to play the Padres, because the Padres, they are a force to be reckoned with as far as that lineup, and it does scare me a little bit.
And they have really good pitching staff and a great bullpen.
Yeah. So
it's going to be a tough series. But the Braves, they'll brave. They'll
brave.
You know, it's a line they say in basketball about the Heat. You know, they say the Heat will heat. Because Miami Heat, whatever they do, they find a way when they get to the playoffs and make a run. And the Braves are kind of the same thing in baseball. They find a way.
We split the series with the Braves. We lost the first two, won the last two.
Yeah.
But they're huge splits. We lost 6-2, 10-1. Then we won 9-2 and 9-0. And that was with,
Yeah, they're not whole, but they're still solid.
Yeah.
And the Padres, they're pretty much whole, so.
I think I fear the Padres lineup more than I do the Braves.
Yeah, I can see that. Olsen hasn't been the typical crazy season that he usually has this
but
year.
But he's been really good. He's heated up this last month.
Yeah, he has. And Albies is great, and Ozuna has been great all year.
Yeah.
You know, Darno always gets clutch hits in the playoffs. So the Braves have some solid – oh, and they're getting great play from Lurianno. You know, he used to be an Oakland A. So there's a lot there. But I still think the Padres are going to win that series because of – I think I prefer their bullpen over the Braves bullpen.
What do you think, Robbie?
I agree with that. I think the Padres lineup is deeper as far as like 1 through 9, but the individual star change, like a game changing power, I think is on the Braves as far as like their big three.
Oh, we forgot about Solar, the former MVP of the World Series. He's starting to rake too. And you know, when he hits, he gets bombs.
Yeah.
You know, so he's starting to pick it up as well. So the Braves are still dangerous.
The question is like, you know, playoffs, everybody says pitching is key. Is pitching going to be, is the Padres pitching good enough to hold back the Braves?
I think so.
And I think that's what we're going to find out.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I think so. I mean, I think San Diego wins the series.
I think they're the better team.
The Braves do have, I would say the three starters that they're going with, I would prefer those three over the Padres three. But like Robbie says, I prefer the Padres lineup.
I think last podcast, didn't you make a point, Robbie, that you think the Padres are the second best team in baseball?
If like not paper wise, if you're looking at like their lineup, the way
attitude,
their lineup stacks,
the way they carry each other,
their pitching staff, because if you look at the Padres, figured it out halfway through the season. The problem is they dug themselves in such a big enough hole that it was hard for them to get out of it. But if the Padres played as well as they did the second half of the season, the first half of the season, they would be the best team in baseball on paper, for sure. I just think that's just, it's their egos, I feel like, that's always held them back. And I think they figured it out this last half of the season, and that's what kind of scares me about them, if they go in with that kind of swagger. But I still think the Dodgers are the better team. The question is, are the Dodgers going to be, it's in the playoffs, it's always who's hot at the moment. The better team in baseball doesn't always win. I would say
the majority
of the time the best team in baseball doesn't win. If I have to go back and look at all the teams that have won previously throughout the years, it seems like it's been either a wild card or the third place team or someone that's come in. It's not always the number one team that kind of wins it. And it's just who's ever hot in the moment. The Padres going into the playoffs they're not hot at the moment. They weren't the best team in baseball. They were kind of falling off a little bit. The Dodgers were the hottest team in baseball going into the playoffs, but they're now going to sit around for 4 or 5 days.
Ridiculous.
I think it's a good. Yeah, but, okay. So out of all the years and all the seasons where the Dodgers locked up the NL West early on and they kind of cruised into the playoffs, Max had mentioned it several times over the last few weeks or whatever at our pod that. You know, maybe they need to be challenged and maybe they need to work for the division towards the season. Now, what I will say with all the injuries that we've had and people getting banged up, I'm going to say the 4 and 5 days off is going to do them good health-wise to be fresh going into the divisional series. I think it's going to help them this year rather than harm them because they had to work for the division title this year.
Yeah. I mean, you could look at it that way.
I mean, Freddie Freeman's got to heal.
Freeman's got a heel. You got Miguel Rojas has got a heel.
Yeah, and then you got, I mean, Flaherty pitched a ton of innings the last, you know, six weeks of the season, and I'm sure he could use a little bit of a break.
Yamamoto could have used a break after his last start.
Absolutely.
For sure. Walker Buehler, same thing. I mean,
and it gives us time for people that, like, maybe Gonsolin's an option, like.
We'll talk about that next episode for who's going to be their options in the bullpen.
I think it helps with people getting a little bit healthier and having options.
That's a lot of the big debate in a lot of shows this week is like, do you prefer the time off so you can set your rotation, or do you don't want your batters, your hitters, to lose their timing? You know, so which is better? Like to play every day and have your hitters still be on their, you know, if we didn't have the, or do you want to set your rotation?
If we didn't have the injury, if we didn't have the injuries that we have this year, I would say keep playing and play in the wild card. With all the injuries and everybody getting dinged up, especially our pitching staff, I think we need the rest.
Here's the thing: you've got enough pitchers that are supposed to be in the majors that you're not going to be using in the playoffs to basically help your pitchers keep or help your hitters keep their timing. I'm going to name two guys right now. You've got Bobby Miller sitting there, who throws 100 miles an hour, who's got all his pitch. I mean, you know, he's got his repertoire of pitches and stuff like that. You've got Michael Grove sitting there, who could be pitching to them as well. And then possibly
you're saying
Tony
Bobby
Gossin.
Miller in the playoffs?
No. What I'm saying is simulated games, pitching to your hitters right now so they don't lose their time.
I agree with that. Sure.
You could be using those guys right now to be throwing to Freeman, to Betts, to Ohtani, to
I
all
agree.
Of your guys.
You know what someone said?
Keep that going.
They should bring their AAA team and play games, like to keep team guys fresh. Someone
they totally
up.
Should.
You know, outside the box thinking.
I know they played sim games last year. They said they were going to play like intense sim games to make sure that they stayed stayed fresh. That didn't work.
Yeah.
So I don't know what their plan is. Roberts has mentioned something. Max, you can maybe look at it. What they're going to be doing in these off times to kind of keep fresh, to not lose that intensity. Because even when they went into to Colorado, with the exception of the last game, because they were kind of swapping a lot of players out, they didn't play out like throughout. They went into Colorado with that same intensity that they played with the Padres and just went and just, you know, gave them the business.
They just handled.
They're kicking their feet up and relaxing. Hopefully not. Hopefully they're still sticking with that intensity and they're doing something in the background to make sure that they're, on paper, it looks like they're taking the time off and they're keeping fresh, but these guys still have to have some kind of regimen sitting there.
Yeah, there's
keep
a balance.
That intensity
there's definitely
going.
A balance, for sure.
I'll tell you this, though.
I don't trust Robertson being innovative into that, though.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, though. Of all years, if the Yankees and the Dodgers come out flat because of this time off, there's going to be some serious conversations of changing this format.
Yeah,
two biggest franchises, they're flat because of the time off. It's, Ohtani's not hitting, Judge's not hitting, Soto's not hitting, Betts not hitting because their timing is off because they've been sitting for a week. There's going to be some grumblings that they need to change this thing.
Man, that sucks so bad because the 2 weeks that Ohtani just had.
I know, he's red hot.
Like, he's not red, like, he's like
atomic.
He's the sun. Like, he batted over 700 1 week, and then last week he batted close to 600.
I hope he brings it in, right?
Insane. If he could have been... like, bring that bat into the playoffs. That's a bat that carries you throughout the playoffs. And it's very difficult to say that one player, one offensive threat can carry a team, but what he did could carry the team.
I don't think you can have a problem with Ohtani bringing his A game to the playoffs. He's never been in the playoffs, and
we don't know.
No, but what I'm saying is, in the last 10 games that he's been playing with, he's showed swag with his homers, his doubles. His clutch hitting, like, his personality showing out as far as, like, his intensity for the game. I really don't think he's going to have a problem, coming to play.
I don't think so either, but you have to account that
now
in the playoffs, you're facing the top of, you're not facing the fourth or fifth, starter or bullpen guy. You're facing aces of really good teams, so it is harder to hit in the playoffs.
I think he'll be fine.
I still think he should be okay, but... I wouldn't have complete confidence because you have the time off. He's never been there before, and you're facing top flight pitching.
I think he's going to step up.
I mean, you're facing the Braves, and he's going up against a Cy Young winner. So that's
I don't think it's going to affect him that much.
What we need to see though is Betts and Freeman stepping up though, because that was the big scare.
Was Freeman going to play?
Freeman's going to play, but I mean, here's what I'm hoping. Because last time Freeman took some time off this season and then came back, he was red hot for 2 weeks. So hopefully this time off now kind of helps him come back red hot. Betts, this last month, kind of teetering towards being in a slump. Hasn't really been like, he's had a lot of pop-ups. Like, his swing has been uppercutting a lot, which makes me feel like he's being fooled on some breaking pitches. And hopefully he straightens that swing out. I don't expect Betts to be hitting bombs the entire time, so swinging for the fences might not be what he needs to do. I think if he gets his swing back to hitting line drives, the home runs will come. And I feel like he's been swinging for the fences maybe a little too much. If he can kind of control his swing a little bit more, Freeman makes that contact that he's known for going opposite. I feel like he's been trying to pull it a lot as well. Same thing with Betts too. Betts seems like he's been pulling a lot. When a lot of his hits that I feel like he's been getting towards the last couple weeks of the season were opposite shots. Like he was going with the ball away as opposed to trying to pull it. Him and Freeman kind of have a similar swing sometimes. If they can do that and then Ohtani stays hot and then everybody else in the lineup does what they do, then yeah, we'll have some good games. And if our bullpen shows up, that's how we're going to win it. I don't think we're going to win it off starting. We're going to win it off of our bullpen and our offense. And I think Max might have said that already. I might have been copying Max, but I think that's what the key is going to be. All right. Do you want to break down anything else for the Padres and Braves, or is that going to do it for this episode?
Oh, one thing.
I don't care about that series.
Is this guy going to
fill the time?
He can't go to the bathroom, dude. Is it number one or number two? I just want to know how much time I have.
Okay. I'm really. You know what? So well, we could talk about it a little bit. So.
Where's my number two?
I really think I'm really looking forward to see how Kopech does in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun to watch. He looked really good on the back half of the season.
I hope he keeps
it up.
Hopefully the rest does Flaherty some good, because obviously it seems like he's been struggling those last couple outings.
I think he's just pitching a ton.
How do we not bring it up?
Oh, hold on.
It was somebody's birthday the other day. So how can we not bring it up? We got to go with your favorite snack, right?
What's your favorite snack, Robbie?
Apparently it's that.
A little brew.
Okay.
And the Talking Dodgers birthday cake. Nice. Happy birthday, bro.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Happy birthday, Robbie.
Thank you, guys. All right. I'm 28 years old. Congratulations to me.
Should we close it out by singing you happy birthday on air?
You can if you want.
I'm not singing happy birthday, dude.
All right. Well, that's going to do for this episode of Talking Dodgers. Your number one Dodger fan podcast. If you like what you've been hearing, please go check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/RotYourBrainMedia. Help contribute to the show. Each contribution helps us create new content that I'm sure that you love so much because you listen to this podcast all the way to the end. Please don't forget to click that like and subscribe. Help us spread like a virus.
Like a virus.
And
don't
if you
forget.
Stayed, send Robbie some good birthday wishes in the comments. So we can,
That would
comment on Twitter.
Hey, best comment. We'll read it on Thursday's episode.
Absolutely. Thursday's episode. Hopefully we'll have more of a clearer picture on which team it's looking like is going to win. Hopefully we already don't know the winner, because that means that, well, they win the next two games, right? Because today is Monday. And that means that the team, we want the series to go three games total. So hopefully,
yes,
we're just talking about what's happened in the series.
The series is over Thursday.
We need, you know what we need? We need three games, and we need them to go to extra innings in every
Thursday.
Hear me out.
Yeah,
we need extra innings in every single one of them.
Friday, they're off.
That's right. You are absolutely right.
Yeah,
so,
we'll know who they're playing Thursday.
Okay.
Thursday is a whole preview of the divisional round. We'll know exactly who
absolutely
it is.
We want extra innings in every one of those games.
All right.
That's the way to look at it for real.
That would be amazing. Each game goes 20 innings.
Help us spread like a virus on X, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. What am I missing, Max? Or Twitter is X, sorry.
Yeah, you're good.
Keep going,
Mike. It's all down there.
Check out the new reels that are coming out. They're popping.
We'll catch you next time. Bye.
See ya.
You didn't tell the people what you did for your birthday.
I didn't do much, man.